Super Gamecast 64, episode 93. Today on the show, guys, we're talking about Life is Strange, Before the Storm. We got Sonic Mania. We got Observer, Uncharted Lost Legacy, Yakuza, Kiwami.
Gesundheit.
All these games and more.
It's a sneeze noise he made, so I...
Kiwami.
Wait, was Life Strange before the storm, or was it after?
Well,
is that a statement, or...
It is a statement.
Anyway, probably should call that guy that we know that plays the music.
Yeah, who was his name?
I think his name is David Jones.
Oh, yeah.
DJ. Boys, it's today.
It is today.
The moment you've all been waiting for. And by all, I mean me.
Is there a new Mega Man game?
When I lose my virginity?
No, guys.
I'm so excited.
It's D-Day.
Wait, what about...
Oh, God. All those children. No.
Destiny Day.
Oh, okay.
It's Destiny Day.
Before we go out any further, this is Super Gamecast 64. It's a comedy show. It's also a video game show. If you don't laugh, you are a sociopath. I'm your host, Matt. With me, as always, we got...
It's me, Kevin.
Oh my God, he got it right. And I'm Tyler.
We've upgraded the audio since in the past few episodes. We just spent a painstaking 20, maybe more minutes.
Yeah, I sat here and played Knights of Pen and Paper.
I don't know what you're talking about, 20 or so minutes. It's 8:45.
Holy shit. Oh,
Jesus. Okay, I spent like an hour trying to deal with this.
That's okay, because I'm waiting for midnight. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, we're all getting ready to go.
I'm just sitting here waiting.
I would have loved a nap.
If you would have...
I would have also loved to be home by 9.
Honestly, if you would have let me go early, I would have just been sitting here playing games that don't measure up to Destiny.
The reason I said that is because Matt, your host, might be a little bit echoey this time. I'm sorry, but we gotta play Destiny. I spent an hour tinkering with this shit.
Just imagine that Tyler and I are sitting upon a dais, feasting upon various... foodstuffs, and Matt is at the end of a great hall, out of range of the warm fire.
What's up, guys?
Yeah, way the hell down there, and he gets porridge.
Yeah, just imagine a big old table. Imagine a world completely under tables. Guys. Destiny. Yeah, Destiny 2 is going to be lit. AP lit.
Man.
Before we start the show.
Oh, man.
Before we start
we
the show.
Started.
Well, in earnest.
It's
before,
going.
But this is our intro bit where we usually like, make a joke like, ha 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 ha, Bungie, nice
bits.
Spawn. Nice spawn, Bungie. You suck. Let's get a roundtable discussion. Well, not discussion. We'll do quickfire. Tyler.
What up?
Starting class, go.
Titan, duh.
Kevin.
Hunter, come on.
Nice. Warlord. Warlick. Warlock. Warlick.
Is that like, what's is that quest? Is that DLC?
It's the pre-order bonus.
Warlick.
From GameStop.
From GameSpot.
And you get a free gun.
You get an actual fucking
Except
gun.
It shoots you.
I was watching a video the other day. It was the Angry Video Game Nerd. He's a movie guy too. He has his whole entire side of his basement. It looks like an old school video store, and he has a
you
rat.
Mean his mom's basement?
No, his basement. He's a married man. He has children.
Nice.
Yeah, unlike you,
wow.
Unmarried man.
Listen,
no
man.
Children. Never. He's the only one here is a fiance, Kevin does. Anyways, the point of the story is he had a magazine rack, right? You remember as a child sticking your fingers at the gratings of those magazine racks, your little pork sausage fingers sticking through, you can't get it out. Are you trying to finesse the shrinkle wrapper so you can hear that delicious crinkles? Anyways, in the back of one of these monster mags, you could send away for a fucking live monkey for $20.
What?
Yeah.
Excuse me?
What is this?
I just want
shipping on that.
It was $19.95, and that's what I could see. But I mean, he was just like showing off the things. He was like, "Whoa, you could buy a monkey, guys!" In world today, if you didn't have the internet, how would you go about trying to purchase an exotic animal?
In world,
like IRL. Imagine you didn't
game,
have the internet.
So in the game outside.
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine
the
a
game
world
we call
completely
life.
Disconnected.
Yeah. There's no internets. There's no telephones. It's just you and the monkeys. Did I mention that you're on the planet of the apes? How are you, Kevin? Kevin, just you, Kevin.
Yeah.
How are you going to survive this crazy planet of apes?
How do we
apes?
Go from buying a monkey to surviving Planet of the Apes?
I don't know, man. You got in this situation, you get yourself out.
Oh my god. Okay, so how would I win this?
Yeah.
How would I survive?
Yeah,
I would
yeah.
take my shirt off.
You have three. You have three upgrade points.
Yeah, I would take my shirt off.
First of all, that's
I just now get it because you're a hairy man.
That's not an upgrade. So you got 3 points left. How would
I am
you?
Basically
how would you spend
an orangutan?
Let me tell you your skill trees. You got dexterity.
Orangutan.
Wait, you got dexterity. Uh-huh. Okay. You got swinging. And you got bananas. Guess what?
3 points in bananas.
Oh, God. You know what that gives you?
What?
Invincibility.
Yeah. You know why? Because when I run away, I just throw the peels on the floor and all dumbass monkeys will slip on it.
You're actually completely right. And little known fact, that's how they got the idea for the banana power-up in Mario Kart.
If I lose my health... Uh-huh.
They put Kevin on Planet of the Apes, yeah.
If I lose my health, I can just eat bananas to replenish.
Sidebar, but still has to do with Planet of the Apes. Sorry if you're interested in video games, guys. We're just doing Planet of the Apes here for a second. Would you rather be in a Planet of the Apes from, like, old school Planet of the Apes? Or do you want, like, James Franco, Mark Wahlberg, and maybe even a little Woody Harrelson inside your planet?
Are we talking, like, a planet inhabited by apes or a planet completely made out of apes? Like, it's just one big
what
ape.
What if...
Imagine if you
mass,
will.
What if the world itself... was made of ape skeletons, and then apes lived on there, and as they died, they just became more of the planet.
And the planet grew a little bit.
It just started with one little ape floating through outer space, like the original ape was floating through outer space.
Someone was born from his
and then his
cops.
And it was like, I'm just going to live on this fucking skeleton.
And according to the church, we're all apes anyway, so...
Well, didn't Tim Allen say that on Twitter?
Wait, what?
If we evolved from apes, why are we still apes? I think they said that on the My Brother, and Me show. I believe they brought that up.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, Tim shouts Allen. Out to My Brother, and Me. Also, shouts out to the person who reviewed us on iTunes. But
yeah.
Guys, we're moving that. We're not doing it at the start of the show.
That's coming
yeah,
up.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, robot. Back up.
The review robot, he's having some technical difficulties right now.
Whoa,
psych,
whoa.
We're moving it. We're moving it to Admiral.
What's that protrusion there between his legs?
Oh, Tyler, this is a new add-on you put on there?
No.
Who put on the...
That?
It's removable.
What's the lever?
Without the visual aid of the review robot that is literally 20 feet tall, he actually had to put a hole in his ceiling. There is a massive erection on this thing, but it's not like what you would normally see. It's metallic.
It doesn't belong there.
You're kind
of... It doesn't. I put it there.
Have you ever seen The Tin Man and The Wizard of Oz?
Yes.
No.
But sexy. But thick.
Tin
guys,
man.
Really, it's the just tin the Tin Man attached to this robot's genitals.
I'm so scared, Tin
the
Man.
The Tin Man, but steel.
He just a dab will do you. All I need is a little dab of oil to get me going. That's what the Tin Man says.
Wow, this bit sucked.
Yeah, well, I was just actually turning it off the bit. 8 minutes in the show, no one likes the tuna here. No one comes for the War of the Planet of the Apes talk.
Tuna?
Tuna, that was a Fast and the Furious joke, if you've ever seen the Fast and the Furious one.
I've never seen a Fast and Furious
movie. No one likes the tuna here. I can't do the rest of the line because it's not PC nowadays. Video games.
What?
We have a lot of video games. We took a week off to play all these video games. Did anybody have anything crazy happened this week before we talk about video games that you want to talk about? Kevin, okay, I just want to bring you guys into the fold here. We had to use some dampening.
Some creative methods.
To dampen out this echo.
Namely, two giant fucking pillows.
And I use your words, Tyler. I don't know.
You didn't send us the docket.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't send him the docket. Like,
so Tyler and I are sitting over here flying blind behind these two giant pillows. We can't see Matt to cue us, and he's just sitting here like throwing shit out. That's why we went off the rails so hard with the monkey thing.
Didn't we change the order?
Well, you guys have it now. Sorry for that. It's obvious that we're a professional production here. I wanted the audience to understand that Kevin has a pillow over his goddamn head, and I cannot see it, and so every few minutes he'll peek his head around like a little child, like, am I allowed to be awake right now?
Tell you what, there's this really nice effect where it goes from, all right, this ain't bad, to, ugh.
Yeah.
not bad.
That's him poking his head out and looking at me. That's for the bad part. All right, now that you guys have updated, you understand what we're talking about today.
Yes.
Episode 93. Life is Strange Before the Storm.
This. Yeah, mine just says it says baloney crotch over and over again. I don't know why. What's
Shit.
Up with that?
That's my fan fiction.
I'll send you mine. Don't worry.
Oh, you have the other chapter?
This will come through, yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. cool. Yeah, mm-hmm. I started the fan fiction. I was just brainstorming, and all I could think of was baloney crotch. But it was a really good idea, so I wanted to make sure I didn't forget it.
Have you thought of maybe including salami dick?
Speaking of a storm of sausages.
When did the original sequel to this game come out?
Okay, no, Life is Strange.
No, I'm asking about the original Life is Strange. Yeah, Squeenix game.
Oh, that was Xbox 360 days, and also like right towards the start of Xbox One, so I'm assuming 2014, maybe?
Okay, 2015. So it's only been a couple of years,
It hasn't been very, very long.
Right.
So for those who didn't know.
In true storytelling fashion.
Life is Strange was a story about a girl named Max. I'm not going to spoil it. If you haven't played the original Life is Strange...
Is her full name Maxine?
Maxwell. Oh. Actually, no, it's not. I don't know. She's always just referred to as Max. Anyways, Max goes to this art school, Blackwell Academy. It's an episodic series about her making it through her teen life. She has a best friend named Chloe. She was once not her best... Well, she's best friends, and they moved away. They came back together. Chloe has blue hair. She's all punk rock. That was a great series. Life is Strange. Excellent. Super trippy. Kind of plays like a Telltale-esque game. Then we have Life is Strange Before the Storm, which, let me tell you guys, is not as wet. That was a bad joke.
Did you say it's not as wet?
Yeah, because it's like before the storm. It's kind of that's almost spoilery because there's like a big storm in Life is Strange, so that's what it's before the storm. But what it actually means is it follows Chloe.
I thought it meant the emotional storm of teenageness.
The teen angst. You're not wrong. The original game Life is Strange had some mysterious, creepy Tales from the Crypt vibes. This one replaces those with what I called the feelings of Americana. The long open road, what it means to be young. There's a lot of those themes in this. What I will say is that there is an excellent gameplay mechanic in there. Actually, I'm lying. It's not that excellent of a gameplay mechanic. It is a gameplay mechanic called the Back Talk Challenge. It's like something you'd see on fucking Nick Gass.
Like
on
TRL.
Double Dare 2000. No, yeah, TRL. What was his name? Carson Daly?
Carson Weekly.
Carson Weekly. He's like, do the Back Talk Challenge. So anyways, what it is, it's essentially like... Here, Tyler, we're going to do an IRL dialogue challenge.
He doesn't have to do
Life is Strange. Life is Strange. Tyler, give me an insult. Just insult me in some way.
Your hat looks like...
That's a throwback to last fucking week. Go listen to last week. Your hat looks like your hat, which looks like your hat.
How would I insult Matt?
Go ahead. Yeah, your hat.
Don't, like, actually insult you? Is that what you're saying? Your hat looks like your glasses.
Okay, so then you'd be like, oh, I want to, you have points now. This is, Life is Strange.
Okay.
So maybe the other person gets 5 wins in the shit-talking challenge, and you have 5 points you have to make. So now that you've said your hat looks like your face, then 3 dialogue options will pop up. And one will be like, well, hats off to that. And the other one will be like, you don't have a face. And the other one would be like, but. And if you're creative and you use their insult back at them, then you get a point. It's like, oh, sir, or oh, no, oh, sir.
Oh, sir.
Jeez, I always mess up the title. Oh, sir, insult simulator. But in Life is Strange form. But it's also like, you just take the word that they said, and then you put it in your thing, and then you're good. I hit my mic. But that gameplay... It's not that invigorating. I mean, we just saw it. It's not, even in practice, in real life, it's not fun.
No.
In the original game, without spoiling anything, there was a crazy cool gameplay mechanic that's in puzzles and stuff in it, and they've almost like replaced the back talk challenge. Or they replaced that with the back talk challenge. So what you get is more of a passive experience, but I won't drone on about it. This is, Before the Storm is a 3-part series. The first episode just came out. I reviewed it on thenineskid.com. Give it a 7.5. It's good. Very pretty. Very, very, very pretty. It looks real, real good. Voice acting is pretty good. But yeah, I'm not completely sold on the story yet. I don't think Life is Strange necessarily needed a prequel, but if it's good, it's going to be good. Kevin.
I know a lot of people that liked Life is Strange.
I was just going to ask you if you'd ever played it.
Including former host and friend of the show, Rush.
Yeah, Rush was super into this game. Rush actually was the... Life is Strange was also an episodic series, like the Telltale games, 5 episodes. And I played maybe 1 through 3, and then Rush was like, you have to finish it. It gets crazy trippy. And that boy was right.
I have not played it.
Definitely should. If you haven't played Life is Strange and you're interested in Before the Storm, the first episode will not spoil anything for you in terms of like what the outcome is of the original Life is Strange, but the prequel does have some characters who are in the backstory of one that get more fleshed out. So I guess it depends on how you want to do it, but you should be able to play the original or play the prequel, the new game before the storm, and then go play the original and not have anything spoiled for you. But I don't 100% know that. That's just based off the first episode.
This might be one that I play with Rachel.
Yes, I highly recommend it. It's very much, the story's also kind of depressing. It's very teen angsty. Half of it's melodrama, but some of it is really, really good. I just want to bring that up because it was good. Here's another game that is not new. Well, no, it's definitely new, but it strikes the old heartstrings. Anyone else play Sonic Mania?
No.
Yeah, that's a negative, Captain.
Really? I'll tell you why.
Yeah, let me hear it, Tyler. I want to hear you talk for a bit.
I got way too much other garbage to play, and Sonic is fun and all. Excuse me. But, and don't get me wrong, I do love me some good Sonic. I would rather listen to and watch someone play Sonic.
Sonic Mania has dope music.
Play it myself. Right, yeah, exactly. It's got a little bit of classic. It's got a little bit of new.
Were you a Sega kid or were you a Super Nintendo kid?
A Sega kid.
So,
1 and 2.
Yeah, okay. I was going to ask if you liked playing Sonic.
I did.
You know,
No, I didn't.
Let's just roll this back then.
I like the midio games.
The mini games.
The Emeralds. I was
good
at
those. Let's run this back then. Round table. Everyone's favorite Sonic game from like the originals.
And Knuckles.
Yeah, those count. Like, oh, yeah, the original Genesis. Because, fuck you, that was my answer. All right, my answer is Sonic 3, but once you put it into the Sonic and Knuckles cartridge.
Okay, mine was Sonic 2, but once you put it into the Sonic and Knuckles
mine
cartridge.
Mine was Sonic and Knuckles. I just like Knuckles.
Yeah, Knuckles.
I think everybody did as a and kid, because he was kind of a jerk. Because
you can just fly over everything.
I like Tails.
Yeah, just play Tails.
Fun fact, do you guys know that Tails' real name is
Miles
Prower?
Per kilometer.
Yes.
You see, get it? Because it's like MPH, like miles per hour.
Can you imagine if it was made in Canada?
Yes.
Then his name
do you guys know what
kilometers.
Shadow's name, real name is?
Is it?
Gun.
Is it Maria?
Oh. No, his real name is Gun.
No,
and then
not.
Rockstar made the... No, it's not really Gun. His name is Black Sonic.
Do you know what Mega Man's name
with guns.
Really is? Do you know?
Rockman.
Oh.
Is it...
Do you know what his brother's name is?
Pebble Boy.
No.
Wait, what is Mega Man's brother's name? Because I didn't even know that Mega
Shale?
Man had a brother.
That is Blues.
Hey, like Blues
Clues. Rock and Blues.
So you got Rock and Roll and Blues. Blues and Rock and Roll. And then later on, in the shittier games,
we're
you get...
We're talking about Sonic here.
I know.
What no, let
the,
him go.
What
it's
the,
fine.
What
it's
about
okay.
The bat from Sonic?
I don't want to spoil things.
What was her? The one with the tits?
Sure.
I mean, it was really weird because she was like
Rose?
A bat,
the one
but she had
should,
really like
the one
really
that
to...
if you search on Google, you should keep safe search on.
Well, that's what it, well, anytime you search Sonic, if you type SON, you could be looking up where to get
it'll
a slushy from the drive in.
Pictures of your son.
You just type in son and they're like, hello, Kevin. No, you look up Sonic because you're trying to find like...
And then it'll show you pictures of my beautiful son, Sonic.
You're trying to look up Sonic because they're trying to show you, you're trying to find where the nearest drive-through Sonic is. And you
do
just
you guys know his name is Sonic because he goes fast like Sonic speed?
Never mind my joke. Mega Man 20XX.
And her name is Rouge.
Go, Kevin, talk.
I was close.
What?
It's not Mega Man 20XX.
It might as well be.
It's not Mega Man.
Sonic Mania, real quick, because we didn't talk about it.
It's one of those like...
No,
judge,
now this
we
is,
really didn't.
Now
talk
this
about
is where
it.
I'm cutting off Kevin. Every time I go to tell a joke, I'm just giving you shit. Stop doing that. Sonic. Sonic Mania is really cute. Kevin, I'm surprised you didn't play it because you were a pretty big fan. Yeah,
I was never a big Sonic fan. Actually, I was an SNES kid. Actually, I really wasn't anything kid because I didn't own any systems until PS1. That being said, I don't know. I've never been. I don't dislike Sonic. I just won't go out of my way to play it.
I think this one is probably the best thing that anyone could have ever asked for Sonic. If you're gonna, if you don't like Sonic, this is this is the best possible reimagining and revitalization that a fan
this
could
is,
want.
This is Sonic when he shows up to his 15-year high school reunion. And everybody's like, "Damn, he got hot!
Look who got hot!"
Hey, when you guys played old Sonic. And you got to the casino level. Did you just spend all of your time in the casino level until you got 1,000 coins?
I
just jump back in that thing.
I don't. I remember it being like pinball. And I like pinball.
I just drowned myself.
Oh, Sonic Spinball?
Dude, Sonic Spinball
was crazy good.
That was so good. I never got past the second one. Was the fire level? That was...
I didn't know there were more levels than the first one.
Yeah, the first one's
because
I didn't
beat
it. Very tough, Kevin.
Reminds me of Kirby. Kirby was the other one that had a pinball game?
Yeah, it was
Kirby
like tilt and roll.
And Pokemon.
Pokemon pinball. Yeah, I gave Sonic Mania 9.5. If you like Sonic,
that,
it's great.
I was playing that Space Pinball on how did, what do you Windows have it on, 95. Matt? Y'all remember that?
Space Cadet Pinball.
Space Cadet Pinball.
I with Xbox. It runs really well. It runs well on everything, Sonic, from what I understand. Nintendo Switch is really
Switch
fun.
Switch has it, right?
I hear that the only problem with Switch was like when you press the home button, there's a bit of a lag, but it's like, guys, it's...
Don't press the home button.
Yeah, don't. I don't know what to tell you. Don't do the thing.
You stupid idiot.
Hey, Doc, it hurts when I do this. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Doc.
Mega Man. They're 20XX.
20XX.
Yeah, it's not Mega Man. Wink.
Talk about it, boys. I'm a huge Mega Man fan, but Kevin was like, hey, Matt, have you seen this game? And I was like, oh, shit. And then I was like, did Tyler also see this? This was way under my radar. So take it away.
It was under my radar. I actually didn't hear about it until I saw...
The day it was released,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, the day it was released, I saw a review on it. And, I mean... The most I can say about it is that it is the spitting image of a Mega Man game.
What I understand it to be is just like Mega Man, but what do you randomly generate? Not randomly generated, but
it is randomly generated levels.
Yeah, all the levels are randomly generated. I'm hesitant to call it a roguelike.
I'm not, because there are permanent upgrades that you can get, and if you do die, you have to go all the way back to start.
True.
Okay.
And there's daily challenges, there's leaderboards, there's all sorts of fun stuff that you kind of wish Mega Man had vis-a-vis replayability.
Here's what I saw, because I saw a little bit of gameplay from this. It seems when you start a mission, you know, a level, you put yourself in the game. You want to be the Mega.
Uh-huh.
They're like, you're going to fight Chill Penguin knockoff. How many knockoff Mega Man bosses are there to play?
Believe it or not... And this is coming from the guy who hasn't obsessively played them a million times. I didn't really notice a whole lot of similarities. I mean, mechanically, there are some, but I think they kept them kind of unique enough that...
But, like, how many are there? Like, if you play for eight?
Yeah,
there are eight bosses.
Once you beat a boss, you select the next level.
You have a choice of three.
Ah, it's like kind of like that... what game do we play? Never mind. I'm not going to remember the name of it. But you when it starts, you choose the three. I'm sure it tells you a little bit. There's like a few differences about the three. One might be more difficult or something like that.
Oh, Flint Hook.
No, not Flint Hook. It was the one where you started off as like goo and it was very techy. You could like upgrade your mechs. Remember that game? It was like four player. You started as brains.
Oh, yeah, Neurovoider.
Neurovoider. That's what that reminded me of.
Same thing.
Okay, so it's like Neurovoider where you pick something and then...
It's also like Kevin said, it's like Flint Hook where you can choose that or... one for you people that want an indie game, Roguelands.
The weird thing about me is that like I get the most satisfaction from like Binding of Isaac with all of the new bosses. Like I really like bosses.
I mean, Binding of Isaac, in my opinion, will always take the rogue cake because it was sort of
Original.
I wouldn't say Rogue Legacy is. I wouldn't say it's the original.
Sorry?
Rogue Legacy.
It's not. I'm gonna check that.
All things said, I wouldn't say that it is the original, but I would say that they've done it best and they've done it consistently.
I just say Rogue Legacy because I played Rogue Legacy. Kevin, you might also want to talk a teeny bit louder because I just see you sound a little bit quiet on the things. Once again, I'm apologizing if I'm echoing. Hopefully, you guys won't have to deal with that for much longer.
Well, so 20XDX. I mean, you can play as a copy of X or a copy of Zero. Both of them have, obviously, their strengths and weaknesses. Generally speaking, the game handles very, very much like Mega Man.
Mega Man X, explicitly.
Yes.
Where you can hop up walls. You got a dash move.
Yeah. Basically, if you're not holding dash when you jump, you shouldn't play the game because it's just... You're way more mobile. It's got really tight controls. I would argue even almost tighter than Mega Man.
I would say I would agree with that.
It looks a little bit floaty. It looks like the sprites are a bit big when I watched gameplay.
They are big.
They're pretty big.
Yeah.
Their hitboxes are a little bit big.
They're like X4 big.
That's like when you go from
in an X game, like X or X2, where everything is small and condensed.
You're
like 20% bigger.
Okay, well, that sounds cool. Real quick, for those who are looking this up, it is, Kevin, it's called 20XX.
Yes.
But it's pronounced.
It's pronounced 20XDX.
But if you're looking for it, it's 20XX. Don't get confused. And then pronounce it however the hell you want.
I would give this one a buy it. I think it's got enough replayability that even if you don't get into it right now, the chances of you picking it up later and really liking it are good, and it will always retain its value because... consistently updating with weekly challenges, and you know, it's seems like the kind of game that developers will stick with for a little while.
Well, any roguelike, you know, or any roguelike that has a good hook, like Flint Hook. I mean, it's as good as you have time for. You know, Flint Hook will absolutely still be good when I go back to it. I just haven't played through all of it. And that's the good thing about Rogue Legacy and, you know, all the kind of roguelikes is that... Is it roguelike or...
Roguelike. There's also roguelite.
Yeah, they're both... Jesus, they're Christ, two different categories.
It's a lot of buzzwords.
Now,
it's grindcore, not post-hardcore.
I just want to put this to bed. Rogue Legacy 2013, June 27th. And Binding of Isaac, 2011.
Oh, yeah. McMillan, I can imagine him doing stuff early as
but well. The original roguelike, Hack.
Didn't McMillan release Binding of Isaac on like PC? Newgrounds and stuff? That was Hominid.
That was Hominid. Hominid is much older.
Yeah, yeah, but that's not a roguelite or anything. That's just a shooter.
Also, that's not...
No, that's just Newgrounds. Just thinking, that's not McMillan.
No, that's Behemoth.
Yeah, that's Behemoth, which they made Pit People, which still isn't out of early access. Yeah, that's...
It doesn't matter if it's out of early access. It's perfect the way it is.
Yeah, with...
Just give me more.
With two chapters. That's what I'm saying. It's not finished. I want to play the actual game. Okay, let's... Mega Man, or the Mega Man clone, 20XX.
All I'm saying is...
Good stuff.
20XX is good, but it doesn't make me want to keep playing it like Isaac does.
It makes me want to play it in different orders.
I get a very big one more level feeling from Isaac. I don't get that from 20XX, but I enjoy it.
There is a game. Brace yourself. Where you can adjust things. You can adjust all sorts of things. You can maybe adjust how much health you have, what weapon you're holding. But most importantly, Kevin, tell them what they can adjust the size of in Conan Exiles, which just it just got a new expansion. On Xbox One, PC, PS, whatever the hell it's on, there's a new Snowy expansion. Kevin got the chance
to
play it.
Speaking of expansion.
But tell them.
You can, I mean, just like any MMO-style game, you can change the look of your character.
Yeah, you gotta have him personalized.
Height, weight, eye color, hair color, mustache, no mustache.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know.
Fingernail length.
Yeah, fingernail length, you know, tibia size. Also your bubbies and your peeners.
One more time?
Your bubbies and your peeners?
So you could say I have a 2-inch bubby and I want one.
Yep, that's
say I have a 3-inch peener.
You seen a bubby before?
No, I've only ever seen one bubby. And say I have a 2-inch peener and I want to make it what's the maximum length peener that Conan Exiles?
I didn't measure it.
Oh, what is it? What does it say on the slider? Is it just like
nothing
impressive?
It's just a slider, just like, and you just watch
it. A small dot to a big dot.
No, it's just a slider, and you are looking at your character literally crucified, and you're just messing with the peener size.
Arms out.
So tell me the last thing I really need to know about how big these bubbies can get and how long these peepers can get is. The maximum...
Sorry, I think you mean peeners.
Peener. Penis. Peepees. The maximum... Jesus Christ. Professionals, right? Professional game reviewers.
Let's just get it out of the way. Boobies and penis.
That kind of kills the joke, but...
Pretty sure, no.
All I'm asking is if I take this booby and this penis slider and I max it out, is it like Circus Freak Show large, or is it like, damn, he's packing? You know, like, what is it? Could you kill someone with it?
We're talking like...
Could you kill...
Can it
is
be,
it a weapon?
Can it be your third hand?
Let's say... Okay, we're not talking like... smuggling a salami. We're talking more like smuggling a kibasi.
A baguette made of meat.
Meat.
All right.
No. I mean,
I think 2 minutes of a booby and dick jokes is probably good for. What about the actual game?
The tibbies get pretty big though.
That's good. tell us about the actual game, Kevin.
The game is fun. I like it a lot.
What
but
is
that's
the genre?
No surprise, because it's a survival game, and you know I'm into that. You know I'm into that shit.
Yeah, you did it. You did a
new Kevin game coming out.
I'll tell you about that new Kevin game later.
You did a really good. You did a really good article. You did a really good article on The Long Dark.
Oh, thank you, man.
On the90sKid.com. You guys should check it out. That is also a survival game.
Yeah, that one is more hardcore survival, focused on like being a real person surviving in the wild. Whereas Conan is like, you're in literally like this, you start in this desert and you walk along this cobblestone path and you see like other people that have been impaled on spikes and like leathery skeletons and like all this other. Long story short, I'm not going to tell you the narrative of the game, but you walk through the desert into a more like lush area where there's water and animals
and oasis.
These weird little like mutant creatures.
Nice.
One particular varietal of mutant will just attack you. The other one will come up to you and explode if you don't kill it quick enough.
Creeper.
From Minecraft. Yeah, more or less, but it won't grief your buildings. The game is tough. It's really tough. Like I actually have not even gotten past the point where I've crafted like cloth armor. I imagine it's one of those things where it's easier with friends, you know, friends who play the game. I don't know what that's like, but yeah, I mean, and you can do I guess the thing that's unique about Conan that I haven't seen in games like this before, and what kind of break it out of the just strictly survival style game, is that you choose a god at the beginning of the game.
How many gods?
There are currently 5.
Now, what are the differences and what are my stat bonuses?
Oh, so, Jesus.
Well, here's the thing. You have gods like Ymir and
Yah. Ooh, let me get that Norse.
Well, Ymir, you can summon a giant avatar, huge, giant, like, stone, like, dwarf that'll just stomp your enemies. I haven't done any of this, so I don't know if this is actually in the game, but it says that at the beginning.
Roll it back real quick. You said this is a survival game, but you can play with your friends?
Yes.
Is it an MMO, or is it group-based?
It is an MMO. There are servers. It's similar to Rust.
So is there quests?
There are...
I guess, what's the gameplay? Is it just, like, survive this many days, and you get upgrade points?
You literally drop in, you find a water skin that has a little bit of water left in it, enough to get you through the desert and into the area where you start having to find food and water immediately, or you will die.
Yeah, I guess...
And then you build a hut, or whatever, and weapons. You encounter other AI-controlled humans that will attack you if you get too close to their fire, and then you'll find creatures and crocodiles and
so
shit
you're
like that.
So you're just surviving for fun. There is no like end game you're trying to reach. Like even in Minecraft, you know, there is like the ether, or I mean, this is also early access, right?
Yes, this is early access. Yeah, there are quests, but they're ill-defined. Usually you don't know about them until after you complete it. So I built clothing, and you are walking the path. You completed the clothing.
Nice.
You know, you build a hut. Eventually you build an altar to your god, and that is how you begin to craft items that are a little bit better. So, for example, you can make an ambrosia that refills your health and water, and it's kind of easier to find. Or, like, with Yogg, which is the god of, like, death, you can, when you kill people, you can literally eat human flesh, and it increases your devotion to that god.
So, if you didn't know, that with the eating the flesh and the bubbies and the peep, this is an M-rated. This is one of the M-rated games, right? Is M for mature?
This is, yes.
Okay, because I gotta ask my mom first if I can play this one.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
I'm 12.
You could just stick it to her.
No, that's we're not doing my mom.
Okay.
Oh God.
No, I enjoy this game. I think it's got a lot of places to go. I haven't played. I haven't gotten any of the expansion content. Again, it's really difficult. I'd like to play with you guys if we can at some point, because I would like to see that. There's enough here to make me want to keep playing. So far it is progress for progress's sake, and there's not really like a hook.
That.
We'll get there. We'll get a perfect game.
But one day. So Conan Exiles, currently you would say you recommend, what is this, like 30, 40 bucks currently?
Yeah, it's like $30. It's worth it. You know, I've probably logged about 20 hours into it already, and
let's make this argument, because like Ark Survival just had its full release.
Yeah.
Do you think that Ark Survival is... Yeah, right? Tao's giving me
what?
A look. It finally came out of Early Access.
Holy smokes!
August 30th, August 31st.
Ark probably still can't play it.
No. Yeah, I think Ark has more content, but I think the Ark's barrier to entry is that sheer amount of content, whereas Conan's a little bit more...
You can get it on the ground floor.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little bit more like self-explanatory. But again, they're in Early Access, so they do have a long way to go.
Speaking of the ground floor.
Oh, no, no. I just want to say something.
Go for it.
Between games.
Yeah, go.
Because you heard it here first, folks.
Nice. Ooh, breaking news?
Travis strikes again.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Tyler wanted to bring this up.
No More Heroes will be coming to the Nintendo Switch. And I just want to say...
Called it. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, in the trailer, he's actually playing Hotline Miami.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Oh, I gotta check this out.
Travis Strikes Back. This is No More Heroes was a popular. Well, I would say it was cult hit for the Wii. Eventually,
one
PS3.
Of the only M-rated games for the Wii.
Very bloody, very action, very weird, very Japanese. It was made by Sweary.
Used like a fake lightsaber.
No, Suda 51 made that, right?
Yeah.
So they, at the original Switch event, Suda 51 had said something about maybe he's thinking about doing a new No More Heroes, and then they had this Nintendo Nindies. It was like their indie spotlight.
Nindies, yeah.
And that's where we saw the release. It is another No More Heroes. It's called Travis...
Travis Strikes Again.
Did you want to say anything more about that, or you just wanted to get that shit out there?
The trailer looks...
Was there any gameplay in that, or is it
perfect?
Just like...
I'm watching it right now. I'll get back to you on that, but...
Was there a date at all?
Also, we'll get back to you about that. I want to say spring. I want to say April.
I feel like that would be a good thing, because they already have, with Super Mario, like, they don't really need... Oh, then again, Suda 51 games I don't think are mainstream enough to really push out that kind of number.
Holy smokes, he's totally playing Hotline Miami.
Hotline Miami's a great game if you haven't played. Get back to me in a minute on that. I just want to talk real quick about Uncharted Lost Legacy. At this point, it's like I'm just preaching to the choir. If you have a PS4 and you didn't buy Uncharted Lost Legacy, either you haven't played Uncharted or it's not your bag. Tyler.
I am on the first boat. I did not play Uncharted. That's all.
Oh, I'm Uncharted. Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I'm getting at.
Kevin, do you ever play any Uncharted?
Yes, I have.
Which
I
ones?
Have. One.
Oh, just Drake's Fortune?
Yeah, I
that
played
sucks.
A little bit of 3.
Yeah, because Drake's Fortune, the first one, was really rough going back. Honestly, my favorite is 2.
I don't have much access to a PS4, so I can't play games like that.
Well, you didn't have a PS3?
No.
Okay, yeah, so, I mean, yeah, if you don't know Uncharted, guys, that's PlayStation's flagship... Fuck, I can't even talk today. Uncharted's big for Sony. It usually has Nathan Drake. He's a guy. He runs around. And he saves things. There's a guy named Sully. He has a brother, Sam Drake, I think, or something like that. He pops up in Uncharted 4. Anyways, they were talking about, hey, let's do this DLC for Tyler. You made a sad face. No date.
I'm so happy. It's no date. No.
No date.
But that looks like
looks great.
Did you play No More Heroes? Because I didn't.
I played the first one and part of the second one.
Does he break the fourth wall at all?
Yeah.
Okay, he's going to
He's kind of like Deadpool, but a little bit more.
I was getting that vibe just from watching it.
Yeah, that's Travis. It's a really good time.
I wanted to play it so bad. It looked so good.
It's just weird because going back to it now, I mean, if you played on the PS3, because they released it on the PS3, I'd imagine it'd be better.
Did they?
There was some sort of remaster of either the first one or the second one. I don't know, but I would imagine that'd be better than the Wiimote controls. I don't remember the Wiimote controls being that great.
Did you have to, like, swing it?
Yeah,
like,
it was just a lot of, like, waggle. I mean, it was the waggle years. While you look up that and get super amped to play an awesome game... Woo! Uncharted Lost Legacy, they were going to make this a DLC. Once again, I'm sorry if I'm echoing, guys. I really apologize. Like, I listen to a lot of podcasts, so I know how annoying that could be. I really apologize. They were talking about doing a DLC for Uncharted 4, which is supposedly the last Uncharted game. It would feature Nadine and Chloe, who are these two side characters. Eventually, that became a standalone game. It's $40. It's called Uncharted Lost Legacy. And what it is it's Tomb Raider. Because Tomb Raider... is more about being a little bit open, having puzzles, a lot more gunplay. It's kind of more like what Uncharted 2 was, a lot of climbing and stuff like that. Also, Uncharted is guys. Tomb Raider is strong female leads. Lost Legacy is good. If you like Uncharted, you're not going to get anything like crazy new about it. I mean, it hits all the same notes that Uncharted normally hits. Like, you got a mysterious village or a mysterious civilization with all these hidden relics, and here's a bad guy who has no side story, who's worse than a Marvel villain. I don't give a shit about any of this, but there is really cool set piece moments. It is gorgeous because it's off the Uncharted 4 engine, so I mean, it looks absolutely fantastic, but it is more like Tomb Raider in that respect, where there is an open chapter where you drive around, you're doing all these little shrines, kind of like a Zelda Breath of the Wild kind of ordeal. I don't know, I really, really liked it, but it is short, like 9-10 hours. For $40, it is a good time. If you're not a fan of Tomb Raider action-y, you know, climb around, find the thing, shoot the guys, third-person action, you're not going to enjoy Lost Legacy. But if you're a fan of Uncharted, and you like it, it's more of the same and it's good stuff. So I didn't have to review it, but if I would, I'd probably give it like a hard 8 because it's just it's good. It's not anything brand new. I mean, you just play as Chloe and Nadine this time, so you're not playing as Nathan. You're playing as a chick. But hey, man, it's all good stuff. The writing is pretty good as well when it comes to interpersonal stuff. Uncharted Lost Legacy, like I said, $40 just came out. Go ahead and pick it up if you're a fan of what Naughty Dog has done. Tyler, do you have anything about that PS3 remake for fans who might want to
show? It was a port. It's called No More Heroes.
Like Super
Heroes
Maximum.
Paradise.
Okay. Is it 1 and 2 or is it 2?
It doesn't say. I'm pretty sure it's 1, but ported with everything.
Yeah. I couldn't remember which one it was, but
number 2, I'm not quite through it yet. It doesn't look like there was a port. I'm not seeing any option to play this game nowadays unless you actually have a Wii still.
Maybe if you can find that PS3 port of the first one, that's a viable way to play it. But guys, they're good games. Watch the Let's Plays. They're visual games. You know, they're fun. They're kind of open world. They're quirky. Well, not open world, but it's an interesting kind of thing.
If I recall, the art style is very comic-like.
Yeah, it's like kind of cel-shaded with like very, very hard,
lots of blood.
It's very Kill Bill-ish like that. You know, you chop off a guy's arm and it's not like gory, like violent, realistic. It's like literally a faucet of just like blood everywhere.
Oh, so it's goofy.
Yeah, it's goofy gory. And that I think that's what everyone liked about. Speaking of things that are goofy, anyone want to hit the Game Boy Color in the corner? Tyler, you can pick that up, throw it over here.
Kevin,
I got it.
Can you pass it to him?
Here, I'll turn it on.
This episode and most episodes of Super Gamecast are no longer brought to you by Audible.com. Psych. I'm just kidding. This one isn't brought to you by Audible.com. We're going to do something a little bit different because we had this review. We thought, why not make it the center stage of our midpoint in the show? Review Robot 2K12 3000. Let's roll them out. Tyler, Tyler, can you take off the extension we were talking about earlier because I don't want to bump into it? Nope. Here he is.
Yeah.
Put in that code. Put in that code. Boot him up.
Okay.
Ooh, it's the review robot.
Don't tell him anything.
Review.
Hello, it is good to be back.
I'm just gonna stop right here, review robot. Don't say anything but the review. I just want you to whatever you guys do between you guys, just accept
listen
it.
Listen to him.
Accept it, review robot. No, you can't come home with me. You're giving me those eyes, and I know they're robotic, and there's no soul behind you, but I can't help but feel bad.
I am so alone.
Here, I'm going to feed this into you. Can you read this? This is a review. It's a 5-star review we got on iTunes from Shonen Trash Kev. That is, we'll talk about them in a minute. But
he's probably awesome because his name's Kevin.
Yes.
No.
Can you read it for us, review? Thank you.
Very funny. I kept laughing while I was running at the gym. Great stuff, guys.
Why were you running at the gym? I hope to God he was on a treadmill. Because what if he was in the gym and listening to us and then got attacked? No longer comedy, sociopath attacking him.
Have we considered for a moment that maybe he wasn't at a gymnasium and perhaps he's running at a man named Jim?
Maybe
it was spelled G-Y-M, but yeah, maybe
you've never met Jim named G-Y-M?
Yeah, seriously, what?
What's wrong with you?
Have you ever met a Jeff named J-E-F-F?
No, you're right. You're right, Kevin. You're right. C-I-V-O-N.
It's actually Q-U-V-O-N.
Fuck you. But not fuck Kevin from Shonen Trashcast, who gave us this 5-star review. Great. Friends help friends. Friends don't let friends not give 5-star ratings on iTunes.
We should probably do that back.
What?
Give them some reviews.
Yeah, guys, I feel a little bit bad for showboating this one because we did know who did it. But yeah, Shonen Trashcast.
Can learn from the example of our friend Kevin.
Let's roll into the true ad roll. Thanks, Review Robot. Tyler, you want to shut him down?
Okay.
Okay.
Come on.
Review Robot, it was good. He got an appearance. Real quick, just before we talk about them, I just want to say, if you, too, would like a review read out by Review Robot 2K12-3000, you don't have to be someone we know from another great, amazing podcast. You don't even have to give us a 5-star review. Give us a 1-star review and talk shit. I don't care. We'll go ahead and feed it to the Review Robot 2K12-3000, who is 100% a legitimate robot.
You can make him talk about bubbies and peeners.
If literally whatever you want it to say, as long as it's not sexist and racist.
And like, I think Tyler takes a lot of advantage of that. I mean, it's just between you guys.
We won't talk about
that. It says anything. Let's put it that way.
He'll say anything you want. So Shonen Trashcast. Let's take this ad roll, because Audible, we're taking a week break from Audible. Let's use this ad roll to just give it all the love. So let's go around the room. I'm going to say thanks to Shonen Trashcast, which is an anime podcast each week or every bi-weekly. I can't remember now. I think it's weekly. They talk about one anime series. They've done tons of great stuff. If you like anime and you are weeb trash, I mean that with the most loving respect, because I too am now weeb trash. I've been watching some anime, Konosubua, or whatever the hell it's called.
Ooh, you should watch the Persona 4 Golden.
I have a lot.
Anime.
I talked to
it's perfect.
The boys from Shonen Trashcast, and they gave me quite a few good recommendations. But you should definitely listen to them. You can find them on all sorts of
podcasts. I've been thinking about watching actual Death Note, not the movie, not the new movie.
I did watch the new one.
No, not the new one.
What'd you think?
If you haven't seen the anime, it's probably like a 6 or 7 out of 10. Nah, maybe like it's mediocre. If you have seen the anime, you're going to hate it. I only know this because haven't seen the anime, and I thought it was enjoyable, but just in the end, it's kind of like, oh, young adult bullshit. And my girlfriend went through a roller coaster of emotion between hating it and being okay with some of the portrayals.
Okay, yeah, because I read it in high school. Because I am trash.
That's okay.
I think like halfway through.
You watched it?
No. Halfway through the book series is probably where the movie stops.
Without spoiling anything, in talking to other friends, the last act of the Death Note Netflix thing has there's nothing to do with like the.
Oh really?
It's not in the book. It's not in the manga or anime.
From what I gathered.
Essentially.
Oh wow.
It kind of follows it, and then they're kind of like, oh, whatever in the end. But Adroll, we'll talk about Death Note maybe another time.
Yeah, maybe.
Sorry to get us off on that tangent.
But Death Note, yeah, good time. Shonen Trashcast, awesome anime cast, and then I'd also want to give a big old shout out, since we're in Adroll, Space Brain Gaming. You guys remember that? I did streaming every now and again. There's Saturday, the 9th of September, we are doing another Dreamcast marathon. One day this time, we don't have time for a whole weekend, but the 18th birthday of the Dreamcast, we'll be playing Switch classics like Sonic Adventure and Power Stone and all the games you remember, Crazy Taxi.
Power Stone's awesome.
twitch.tv/spacebraingaming. That's one word. It goes from noon till 12 a.m. midnight Eastern time, probably a little bit later. We'll play all sorts of stuff, so tune in if you want. Anybody else got some things they want to shout out? I'm sure you do.
Yeah, Tyler and I have one. We're shouting out to our buddy Mark and his wife and his friends over at Choose My Own Adventure podcast.
What a good guy.
I believe it's weekly.
Bi-weekly.
Bi-weekly, yeah. By mistake.
What is this? Choose Your Own Adventure?
Choose My Own Adventure. It is exactly what it sounds like mixed with D&D.
I'm all about it.
On a tabletop RPG. They use a different format of game, which actually lends itself pretty good to podcasting format.
The Fate system works really well.
Yes. The Fate system is what it's called. Thank you. I forgot. Great storytelling. The characters in it are engrossing. It really is a good show. Give it a shot.
He incorporates the audience every episode.
Yeah, so he has a SurveyMonkey email list that he sends out after every episode, and the audience responds to the survey and literally dictates what happens next.
Well, he adds it to the story, and it definitely has pushed the story in some interesting directions, and I'm really looking forward to what's coming next.
So if you listen, not only are you hearing a great story, but you can immediately become a part of the story.
Absolutely. And Mark himself is an extremely talented artist.
Yeah.
He currently put out a fundraiser for the victims of Houston, the flooding.
Oh man, I want that shirt.
And
if it's a shirt.
He designed a shirt print, I think, that you can purchase. If you just look up Choose My Own Adventure podcast, I believe he cross posted on there. You can purchase the shirt, and all proceeds go to a small organization down in Houston that's providing relief to the people down there. he's a constant wellstream of awesome stuff. So I cannot recommend it enough.
He's a great storyteller.
Yeah.
Absolutely one of the best I've heard in all of the podcasts I listen to, and it's a lot.
So if you like D&D, you like stories, you like roleplay, you like interactive fiction, definitely give one more time. What's the title? I don't want to fuck it up.
Choose My Own Adventure.
And you can find that on, I'm assuming, like iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Yep.
All the above. Yep.
Places that you can find our podcast and more podcasts.
I didn't know Google Play was a podcast.
Well, that's what I just said.
So
it the
Spotify.
The other week, I had Googled our show title. Because I was trying to see what episode we were on, because I forget that constantly. And yeah, just if you Google our show and like other shows like Lore and maybe, you know, Marks, it just pops up like as the second Google thing, and you can just play directly from Google. If you have an Android phone, it just like is now a player that you can just listen. So yeah, that's a thing. Adderall was fun. Does anybody have anything else? I mean, we could talk about Space Marine Gaming, a 90skid.com. Me and Kevin both write for it. Kevin is an editor-writer. I am a feature writer, if you want to say that. You can check out all that stuff. We just did a whole entire site revamp. It looks dope. I really enjoy it. Kevin, what do you think about the site rework? The new theme?
Oh, I love it. I think it really, I mean, it's like night and day, honestly. Really a lot of hard work put into it, I can tell. And I without, you know, brown nosing or anything, I really do think it has bumped the visual quality of the site up to our contemporaries, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. If you're a fan of like Polygon, and I think honestly the way our site rolls out with the pictures and stuff, I think I like the layout visually more than like something like Polygon or Kotaku, just because it highlights the actual art, the featured images. So if you have sexy featured images, that stuff looks sexy all the time. I'll stop just advertising ourselves. Tyler, do you have any?
I can't think of anything. I mean,
you'll think of it as soon as we stop recording.
I'm sure. I listen to an awful lot of D&D. If you haven't listened to the Adventure Zone, you're wrong.
Taz.
If you haven't listened to Critical Role, you're wrong. Get yourself some D&D. Maybe we'll put out some D&D.
Yeah. Oh, this is a good time right before we wrap up ad roll. We did mention that we were going to play D&D. On the show, it's something we tried before, but we never put out episodes of. We were going to do a whole entire show, but it's a lot of work. We were thinking about maybe doing it for episode 100, but I decided against it. I kind of want that to be something special. We'll probably do it around that after. We'll definitely tell you guys. So if you are a fan of, you know, D&D podcasts like The Adventure Zone and stuff like that, definitely give that episode a listen. We'll let you know when it comes out. But yeah, don't be surprised if one week we're like, hey guys, we're playing D&D, because I told you now. It won't be for a few weeks. But yeah, it's going to be a good time. I'm super excited. Tyler, you okay?
Do me a favor.
Yeah.
If you can think of...
This is a call out to the audience.
Yeah.
This is a call to action.
Two characters that you'd want to see on an adventure together. Two video game characters.
Look,
I'm
calling out, like... Guys, there is at least, I know, two people who listen to this show. Yeah.
We're talking to you.
I'm literally talking to you right now. We talk on Facebook all the time. You guys, you're listening to the show. Just add us, at SuperGameCast64, or at one of us personally. We just need some cool characters to make this a cool thing for you guys.
I have a great list, but I want to know something that you want
to
hear.
It is important to note that I don't think we're doing a one-off that's just out of a book. I think Tyler's creating something that would align with the themes of the show.
Absolutely, an entire world.
Imagine a world completely based
from
on...
from my brain.
Yeah, so
and all the things.
Send in some video game characters... or is it video games only? Or are we?
It is. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, let's just keep it video games.
We do movies, but like
if we do a part two, we can do like a movie thing too. Maybe
absolutely.
Yeah. So if video games, any genre, any whatever, send them at SuperGameCast64. Those Twitter links will be at the end of the show and in the show notes as well. If I remember to do that, you should totally listen. Let's go back to the show as we approach this 53-minute mark.
Oh boy!
Goodness gracious!
Welcome back to the show. It's okay. No worries. If there's noise right now, then life goes on. The Xbox shut off or the TV shut off or something. It's okay. I was going to talk about this game, but since we are at 55 minutes, I'm going to say... No, Kevin.
Yes.
The thing. Ten. Never mind. We won't do the 10 words for this one. Agents of Mayhem is okay. It's like...
Yeah, I don't know if it needs 10 words.
It's...
Does it deserve 10 words, Matt? You want to do 10 words?
No, because he wasn't feeling it. It's got to come naturally. Agents of Mayhem is essentially, if you take a bunch of... God, I played it so long ago. It was literally 2 weeks ago at this point, but it's already out of my head. It's the Saints Row developers, Volition. It's like a neo, kind of neon futuristic Seoul, Korea. You pick three fighters... three champions, if you will. You unlock them as you go. It's a third-person shooter. They all have different abilities. You choose a team of three, and then you take them out, and you run around. You do a lot of action-y stuff, but it feels kind of repetitive, same-samey. It tries to be funny. It doesn't really succeed, but it does do a Saturday morning cartoon kind of vibe very well. The way the missions are broke up, they're into different episodes. Each episode is a multi-part mission, series of missions, and they all focus on some lieutenant, so some super villain or something. That kind of stuff is interesting, but for a 30-hour game that's $60... as we come into October, November, and this holiday in general, you can spend that $60 somewhere else, and I bet you money next year that game will be $30. It's a game that I would recommend for $20 to $30, depending on how much you like open-world third-person shooters, but for $60, with all the games coming out right now, I would say no. In fact, there is some new content from the game that I think Agents of Mayhem borrows a lot. Well, I mean, every open-world borrows a lot from.
I was actually going to make the point that the reason I liked Saints Row so much is because of how similar it was to the next game that we're talking about, Grand Theft Auto. Grand Theft Auto just released new content called Smuggler's Run. It's for GTA Online.
Ooh, let me go back real quick. I think I gave Agents of Mayhem a 6.5 out of 10. That's a thing I did because I ended up reviewing that. Yeah, GTA Smuggler's Run. Is this the new...
Smuggler's Run. There are a couple things that GTA has done with their online content to keep people interested, and interested they are.
It's all free, too. You got to give them props for that.
Yeah. It has a free-to-play model. There are shark cards, but I really don't know. I think I know like maybe one person who's used them.
They always include them with stuff.
Yeah, so I mean, it's not...
There's no point. Like that's just. I want to get 12% farther in the game.
Real quick, buy 100 grand. But to contextualize all that, what were you gonna say, Matt?
Real quick, that stuff used to matter, but there were so many issues with Grand Theft Auto Online that Rockstar has. At one point, they gave everybody $1 million in currency just because of an accident, and I think that's like a $50 shark card. So what Kevin would probably allude to is that there is a free to play element, but it's not. The focus, it's barely there.
Right. They really do reward you for buying the game for $60 already or whatever it costs nowadays. But that being said, GTA has consistently pumped out updates for their online that just makes the online worth $60 in and of itself, completely independent of the game.
I do have a question to ask at the end of this. Don't let me forget.
I've owned GTA 5. I've not played GTA 5. When I load into the normal game, it goes to the very first cutscene of the game. I've literally only played online. I've played GTA 5 on other systems, but
I hear it's very good.
It is fun.
First person mode is very good.
So all that said, basically they started with motorcycle clubs and Sekiro serves, which are like they're organizations that you can start as an individual and recruit people from the online to help you with jobs that you do. The jobs help you earn money. You do different things. They're small little mini missions that you do with your friends.
If you've played GTA Online before, this is kind of similar to when they put the cocaine operations out and stuff like that. That's not a joke. Like, you can own a coke house and stuff like that. Like, ways to revenue, get yourself monies
and
stuff.
Right. And before that was a... bunker that you could buy and run missions from the bunker and a mobile command center. So now you can buy a hangar and you can buy different planes that they've included in the game, which they make the game a little more chaotic because now everybody has access to these planes that can like run carpet bombing runs across the city. But at the same time, it's a lot more fun. They basically took everything from the ground and put it in the air. You could fly before, but not to this degree, and there's a lot of like fun dogfighting missions that you can do. You can stock your hangar with goods now and then sell them, much like the cocaine lockup that Matt was talking about. All in all, really great expansion, especially considering the fact that it's free. You need a lot of money to buy into it, in-game currency, that is. But it's fun. It's
very takes a while to get there, but just have a friend.
Yeah. GTA absolutely. Online is very overwhelming at first, but here's something I just... Neither of you ever played... No, because I'm going to forget the other thing first.
Yeah.
I was a big fan of GTA 4 because I like single-player expansions. I don't know if you guys played GTA 4 at all.
No. I did.
Okay, so there was the biker expansion, and then there was the Ballad of Gay Tony. Both large, very, you know, lots of variety, detailed expansions. These weren't throwaway expansions. But then you see something like GTA 5 that has no single-player expansions. Such a large world, right? But then so much online stuff. I kind of already know the answer for you, Kevin, but I guess, Tyler, would you rather see a game that has two or three very, very big single-player additions for a game that's open world like this, or would you rather see constant updates rolled out for free in an online sustained world? What do you get more out of?
Now, that's a hard question, especially since I, like Kevin, have played only the online.
Yeah.
I did play a little bit of the single-player, and I wasn't really about it. I wasn't really sure how the whole stat thing works. But to answer your question,
In general, not Grand Theft Auto specifically, because my issue is that I can't keep up with GTA Online.
It depends.
Yeah.
So when you're trying to keep on top of it, when you only have so much time to play like we do, it becomes almost a chore.
Yeah, these games are like kind of like you buy one game and you play that.
Yeah.
For people who don't play a bunch of games a week.
So if I were in the old shoes that I were in previously, which were sandals, I would probably... Man, it's really hard. I like playing games with my friends, but at the same time, I would rather have a multiplayer local co-op
expansion. That's a whole other issue. Before we wrap up this just GTA stuff, did either of you ever play Chinatown Wars?
No, what is that?
Okay, so it was a DS one they did, but there was a little thing in it because you could you know carry drugs around and kind of like maybe I'm misremembering this. Maybe this is not a thing, this mechanic specifically, but you did carry drugs around. I remember there being a briefcase. And then you'd have to kind of Resident Evil style fit the drugs in the briefcase. But yeah, you could sell like coke and all that kind of stuff. But I really wish they would have done... I think they actually did release it for like PS3 or PS4. But I think like a full overwork of that game... Chinatown Wars is one of the best top-down Grand Theft Autos to ever exist. And it is a top-down one, like the originals. Let's move on to this one, because I'm not too 100% sure about all this stuff. I did play some League of Legends last night, and quite a bit during Earth. Everyone enjoyed Earth this year?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
I think that they need to...
this year? It'll come back in a couple months.
They just need to make it on Howling Abyss.
They just need to make it constant.
Right? I mean, they did that for ARAM. They should just do that for Earth as well.
They should have a couple different game modes, even if they just rotate, but... Who cares?
We're at about the hour mark.
That's what they're doing, though. They're rotating.
If you don't listen to League, or if you don't like League, and you don't want to listen about League of Legends, skip forward like 3 minutes, because I don't think we'll talk about this very long. Kevin, go. Invasion is this, right?
Yeah. Invasion's this new game mode they have where you play as the Star Defenders?
It's not
is
out
that,
yet.
Is that what they're called?
Star Guardians. This is not Excuse out me. Yet, as of the recording. I think it's coming out in a few weeks towards the end
very
of the,
soon.
September, maybe?
Star Guardians, you play as any of these 10 Star Guardians. They're characters that have Star Guardian skins.
Lux, Lulu, some other ones.
There's a bunch of them.
Jinx.
Yeah, and so they're basically Sailor Moon characters.
Yeah, they're cute.
And you fight. It's a PvE style game, which is very, very unique for League. Normally, League is a multiplayer online battle arena game, so you're playing against other people.
Not this
guy. This is one where you are playing with people against.
It's like AI. Doom. It's like Doom bots kind of stuff. You know?
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Like a wave thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're defeating shadows of champions that just do random stuff that are similar to the champions they're shadows of. Like there's the Chobot giant random. Like
it's kind of like Doom bots, but like a corruption of that, so it's more interesting. Yeah. Plus, it's basing off of lore with the Star Guardians.
Right. But, like, you have a choice of 10 champions, and that's it.
That's what I'm glad it's a special mode. They'd probably be around as long as, like, Blood Moon. I really like Blood Moon, but the problem with Blood Moon is you play as assassins. That's another mode where you only play as assassins.
Like
it's fun because of the way they change up the dynamics of how quickly you get gold and some stuff, but at the end of the day, you only play maybe max 25 matches of that because you don't like every single assassin character there, and there's only, like, maybe 12 that you can pick from out of the 100 and whatever champions there are in League. So that's my only really concern with invasion mode. But I've always been a huge fan of taking a game that is multiplayer centric and adopting the aspects for single player content.
Or I would much rather play it like that, like kind of like Splats did. Splats 2, you got your PvP 4v4 matches, but they added this thing called Salmon Run, and you play versus the game, and the object of the game is to collect golden eggs.
Because after a while, when you're playing League of Legends, you're just sick of the toxicity. You just want to...
Yeah, I don't want to play.
Everyone's yelling at you. Just everyone yell at something else. That's why I usually play ARAM or IRF, because it's way less intense. I did play some normals, some 5s and some 3v3s. We won our first 3v3 I played in probably years. It felt great.
When did you play?
Last night at like 4 in the morning.
You and I are going to play threes.
Peasy's house. Played three. Shout out to Peasy and Steve. Kevin, do you have anything else you wanted to say about invasion mode in League? Because you were looking forward to this. Is there something specific about it that you're interested in? Or you just like
PvE? I just like that it's PvE.
Yeah, I really like the idea of that. You take a multiplayer-centric thing and adopt it against the game itself. Did we talk about the crazy bot that Elon Musk made?
No.
Oh, the one that was beating Dota players?
Yeah. Was it a Dota one or was it a League?
It was a Dota one.
It
was a neural net that ended up learning so much that it beat Dota players. And now Elon Musk is like, guys, no more AI. We can't do this. It's going to kill us all.
Well, the thing that was interesting about the AI, Elon Musk essentially made an AI that played this, you know, a League of Legends-esque game. Well, it's pretty much League of Legends.
It was
Dota.
The original.
OG.
Yeah. Well, Dota was the original. It was a custom game.
Defense of the Ancients. It was based on Warcraft 3 custom.
Thank you.
Games.
Technically can't call it Defense of the Ancients anymore. It's Dota 2. They don't have a license on that.
They don't have...
It's like Dota 2, it's called Dota 2. It's not Defense Against the Ancients 2. It's like they don't own that name.
I didn't know
it's
that.
Very interesting. Yeah, yeah.
We're going to get 2-for-1 game back today, though.
It's weird. Yeah. Ooh, look at that.
Spicy.
But yeah, there was like some fucking AI that Elon Musk made. He was like, down with gas, let's make everything AI. And then the AI like played League or played Dota against itself for like 6 hours, then started beating humans like it wasn't even an issue. And then somebody found out.
And it was like GG easy kek. And he's like, oh no, we can't do this anymore. No more AI, please.
Yeah, the AI is taking over.
Skynet.
Matt.
Yes.
I'm seeing something here on the old list we got.
Yeah.
That only you have played.
Ugh.
Ugh. So why don't you
yeah.
Why don't you give it to us here? Give me 10. Give me 10. Explain it to me and Tyler in the best way you possibly can with only 10 words.
Precursor.
Well, let me just say it's this Yakuza Kiwami.
Okay, the year is one word.
Okay.
Also, what music do we want for this?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
I'm going to do something that I think of when I'm editing because I'm not going to search for it. So maybe the Grand Theft Auto 4 remix or something. I don't fucking know. Anyways, hit the music. Let's go. The year is one word, okay?
Yes.
2005. Japan beat 'em up. Revamped for 2017. There's a period there. Much better. It doesn't really, it doesn't tell you a lot about
no,
it because
it
Yakuza is a very difficult game to describe.
It's a beat 'em up that has been remade and it's better.
Yeah, so
that's all I need to know.
Yakuza is a now 7-game long franchise, very popular in Japan. Six is coming out in March of 2018 in the West.
Uh-huh.
Zero was the newest one before that, which was a prequel, and the one that we're just talking about now is Yakuza Kiwami, which is a remake of the 2005 PS2 original. So
I'm getting Tekken flashbacks.
There's a lot of stuff going on. All you need to know is that it's open world-esque. There is main missions. It's Yakuza. The Yakuza is the Japanese mob. That's what they call any gangs in Japan, the Yakuza. You're Kiryu or whatever you say his name.
Spell it.
K-I-R-Y-U.
Kiryu.
Yeah, there's his friend Nishikimai. No, there's a Y in there. I don't know. There's a lot of characters. There's
Nishiyama.
Yeah, something like that. There is a very melodramatic Yakuza storyline, but after around like the third or fourth chapter in Kiwami, I mean, if you don't want to play the original, you can play Zero or the new one coming out if you don't care about story or anything like that. But around chapter 4, you get open to the city. It's called Kamurocho. It's like a fictional Japanese town that just resembles everything about Neo Tokyo, kind of. And you just walk around. There's a bunch of places you can go. There's tons of mini games. Like each mini game in this game is a game within itself. that's the thing about Yakuza is that it doesn't seem like there's a lot of stuff until you look into the things and you realize, oh, every single time I order a drink at the bar, which I can choose from a list of 30 different drinks, they give me 5 paragraphs about the actual history of this real life drink for no reason. You can go to, there's like 18 different restaurants, all have their own different menus. There's achievements for eating everything at every single restaurant. It's one of those like completionist games, 20 different mini games, you know, billiards, darts.
So what's the fastest way to make money so I can buy all these drinks and learn about them?
You don't really have, that's the thing about this game is that I put it on easy and it's like a fun, cause you don't shoot a lot. You don't do any like driving. You just punch dudes. You just make a lot of money. And unless you spend a lot of time buying extra weapons and stuff, because it's kind of like that River City Ransom for yeah. NES, you can go into a shop and then a guy in the back's like, hey, we have a sword here if you want it for like 2,000 yen. Things don't cost a lot. At no point was I like, out of money. Yeah, exactly. At no point was I like, I'm out of money. But then again, I was playing it easy and I was just destroying everything. It's a great time. It's way shorter than other games in the Yakuza series. Like Yakuza 0 is probably like 100 hours just like randomly wandering. This one... probably completionist 60 hours. So it's a good time. It is still 2005 game design, but it holds up because it's beat 'em up. You don't get a lot of that nowadays. Good stuff. It's also a budget title.
Streets of Rage remake.
That's essentially what it is, a 3D Streets of Rage.
Double Dragon.
Yeah. That's what they need more of those nowadays. More beat 'em ups.
I don't know if you played Battletoads. The new Double Dragon when it came out on PS3. Neon? It was like Neon. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I had a good time with that.
Oh, God, it was awful.
It's really not that fun, but I like the style of it.
Whoa.
I like that. But yeah, Yakuza Kiwami, it's a budget title. It's $40. You should go out and get it if you haven't played Yakuza.
PlayStation only?
PS3 and PS4. The new one coming out in March is PS4 only.
Dope.
That's essentially what this game is. Yakuza Kiwami is the original Yakuza game, but it was on the PS2. So they just took the entire game, took the modernizations they've made with it, and then put it in the new engine.
Did you guys hear that?
I heard it.
Matt?
Did you hear that?
It's coming. Oh, boy. It's rumbling.
It's this week in Skyrim.
Last week on This Week in Skyrim, it was many weeks ago, and Matt does not remember where it was actually at. So now Tyler has been playing
Mud
some
Crab
Skyrim.
Armor. That's what was last.
Mud Crab Armor, yes.
Tyler.
Last week on Skyrim.
Tyler, you played some Skyrim.
We spoke about becoming the Archmage of Winterhold.
Yeah, you went to the college.
Yeah, I finished that whole quest line. That was the end of that.
Yeah.
And I moved on to the things.
Now what are you doing?
I am in search of the Galdir brothers' necklaces.
The amulet things? The amulet. The three pieces?
The three pieces, yeah. Precisely. Now, I've never finished this game, so this is actually the farthest I've ever been.
By finished, you mean the main quest?
Yeah.
Because the main quest is like one of the worst parts of the game.
Oh,
not the worst parts, but like it's good. But in comparison to like the Assassin's Guild, the Mage's Guild, all the other guilds, and the side quests, like the Daedric Artifacts, the main quest is short and it's like, wow, that was fun. It's mainly...
oh, dragons.
You do that so you get just... because if you play the main quest, then you'll just find different dragon shouts. It's the easiest way to find shouts without walking
around. You eat a whole dragon, that's how you get the spell.
Yeah.
Which is actually what I've been doing, is exploring all them ancient Nordic ruins.
Mm-hmm.
And finding all these, I don't know what you call it, dragon masks. I'm up to 4.
Yeah, fun. I have 4. I think I rock Volsung usually.
That's not a very good one.
I mean, not Volsung. I was Narakin. One of them's red. I use 2 different ones.
I use the blue one. The starts with M. Gives you 100% magic regeneration. You're a mage.
That's right. I'm a battle master kind of dude. This week in Skyrim, I just searched for like a Daedric artifact because I'm doing this thing now. Daedric artifacts, fun fact, like finding the Daedric artifacts is the only thing in that game that is technically missable because you can screw up like 2 or 3 of the quests.
Like the Mace of Molag Ball.
Yeah, like Mace of Molag Ball, there's like one that you can miss. You essentially have to get like 10 Daedric artifacts. There's specific quests in Skyrim for them, but you can screw them up. Some of them are missable. You can only get them at certain times. Oh. So whenever I reach like level 25 or 30, I just go back and I look at the list online. I go to those quests and do them then so I don't mess it up.
Oh, no.
But it's don't worry about it. Even if you mess like one up, you can still do it. But then that way, when you're done with Daedric quests, you have a bunch of dope, like cool, overpowered stuff.
Hey, guys, you know the best way to eat a dragon?
Game of Thrones spoilers?
Whole?
One bite at a time.
I got it.
I got that Black Star.
I also have Black Star. The Black Star is good. I have the Mace of Molag Ball. I have, I don't remember.
Is there a dagger?
I'm doing the dagger right now.
The dagger?
May runes?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you have to collect a bunch of pieces for that.
Yeah. I started that the Spoilers. First time I played.
6 years
and ago.
Everybody knows the best way to beat that game.
I did a bad job.
Is to just put all your points into Assassin, go to the Dark Brotherhood, get the gloves, and then you can just sneak up behind any dragon priest and just one-shot him because you have, like, times 16 on your sneak attack.
Sneak attack's so OP in that. I can't wait till Skyrim VR comes out so I can spend $60 on a game that was 6 years old and I can be inside of it.
And then you can sit there and crouch behind Ulfric or whatever the hell the guy's name is and just backstab him before you get to the bear.
Did you have anything else you want to say about this week in Skyrim? Because I want to tell you I have a master plan.
Okay, so the other thing I did was explore Dwemer Ruins.
Mm.
And I'm all about them dwarves and their steam bots.
Have you gotten to what is it called? Blackstone or what the hell is it, Kevin? I'm not trying to spoil it if he's never done
I'm getting closer to something. I got half of a rune.
Yeah.
It's like bright blue and like it fits with another one. And
you go down an elevator in some Dwemer ruins and you get to a pretty dope spot.
There's some crazy stuff going on.
With all the
in Skyrim, I didn't know.
Yeah, it's called like Blackstone or something down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good time.
I really should have played this more. I'm really excited for mods when I get finished with the entire game. Which
that's what I have.
100 hours away.
I literally have to. I have to get everything and do it and finish it off before I can start mods.
Because
for me, it just doesn't. It doesn't. It feels weird.
I think
it's wrong.
I think I've told this story before. But one of my favorite Skyrim memories was my good friend Lydon and I were.
Oh yeah, I spoiled this one.
We were staying in. We were staying in Kent at the time.
Yeah, Kent State.
We both had to work over winter break, and so we couldn't go home to see our families yet. You know, we had to go, like, right before Christmas. So he and I basically were, like, it felt like we were the only people in town, and there was nothing to do. So we just sat there, we dragged our TVs both into the living room and just played Skyrim, like, for 4 days straight, just sitting on the couch. It was awesome. It was actually right around when it came out.
They say, in relation to Kent State University, this is Kent State, is the, even if you're not from Ohio, this is the place where there was the horrible shooting back in the Dizay. They say, this is going to sound mean that I just brought that up, but I also went to Kent State. They say that Kent State is can't read, can't write, can't remember what I did last night, Kent State. Do you remember what you did last night? The night that you played Skyrim at Kent State.
Yeah, I think I was doing that sneak build, so I basically just stabbed everything to death.
Well, then what they say about Kent State is wrong. I guess that joke wasn't very good unless you went to Kent State.
I'm pretty sure Kevin got his bachelor's in English.
Kent State? BS.
I don't have a degree. That's the joke on me. You know what? We're towards the end of this thing. Oh, all the levels just got blown out. It's about an hour and 15 in. I just want to say Skyrim still. This is a real thing. I just need you guys to understand. This is an Oblivion, but I can remake it. I can make it happen in Skyrim. Like, loosen up your funny bones for this, guys. This is a completely serious, but it's hilarious. I can't wait for Skyrim VR because I want to have this experience that I had in Oblivion, but for real, okay? Did I ever tell you guys the tale of Hack Dirt?
No.
Mm-mm.
So, Hack Dirt. A part of the way through Oblivion. This is Elder Scrolls 4 Oblivion on the Xbox 360, PC, PS3. I made it my job to, anytime I would kill somebody, take all their clothes. All of their clothes. Not because I was some weird perv, but in the middle...
I think I know this.
In the middle of the forest, there was a small turn. There was a small town named Hack Dirt. It had a church, a town, or like a shop, and like two houses. I walked through there, and I was like, this is now my town. I killed everybody, took off all their clothes, realized I was over-encumbered, dropped the clothes in a pile. From there on, for the rest of my gameplay, every time I would kill someone, I'd take their clothes, because clothes don't, like, they don't weigh anything. Then, when I was over-encumbered, Hack Dirt time, bitch. I would fast travel to Hack Dirt, drop that shit in a pile. Like, 40 hours later, you load up Hack Dirt, you try to fast travel to Hack Dirt, it's like the Xbox has a goddamn aneurysm. It loads, like, 400 pieces of clothing. 3 FPS. You can climb on this pile of just clothes to jump onto another roof. Like, it's a literal mound of clothes that I just made over 50 hours. I swear to God, no VR game has ever made me be able to sit on a pile of clothes from murder victims. And I need to do this in real life, in hack dirt. It's gonna be great. And that's all I can wait for in Skyrim VR. We're towards the end of here. Observer is a scary game. You should play it. It's the same people made Layers of Fear.
Is that really all you have to say about it?
I could, if I start talking about it, I'll just go on, because a lot of the game is about, like, weird, like, what is reality, and am I dreaming? Am I actually insane?
So it's like Black Mirror stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It takes place in the future. You can, like...
Isn't it like Blade Runner?
Yeah, technology is super crazy. Holograms and all that stuff. Technology has, like, overtaken the world. One of the best parts about that game is just in the storytelling, the world building. There's a big ad on one of the like, you're in an apartment complex. You're locked down. But there's a big ad on one of the walls in the apartment complex, and it's for toys. And it says, parents, your kids can't feel a hologram. Buy a kinetic toy today. And it's like an old wood, like... That's how far the world has come in this future. It's like everything's hologram, everything's technology. Kids need to play with wood so they can feel things. And you play as this guy who's a detective, and he can kind of jack into the minds of people and see their dreams and stuff. Same people did Layers of Fear, which was another crazy game.
It was a cake-based horror game.
You play it as a painter. There is a kitchen in that game, but you didn't make any cakes. Observer's crazy. It's really crazy. It's very overwhelming. If you have epilepsy or like too much overloading the senses bugs you out, probably don't play it. But if you're looking for something to play this Halloween, Observer is nuts. It's more just overwhelming and insane than it is actually scary, but definitely give it a go. I'm not going to say more than that. It's like a $20 game. I gave it a pretty good rating, an 8.5, I believe. It's getting hot in here.
Mm-hmm. Keep your clothes on, please.
Yeah, yeah. Let's wrap this up. We have a few things we're talking about. Shovel Knight. I played that when it first came out. I booted up last night. My save file was like 17 minutes played. And I was like, I wonder if I'll like this game again. Now I'm on the last boss.
Did you, are you playing all the DLC and stuff?
What happened was, like I said, I've never played this game except for the first 17 minutes I played. So I'm just normal Shovel Knight. I went through everything. Towards the end of the game, the Battletoads level popped up, which I believe was DLC. I played through that. It was like 4 in the morning. I got very mad because I kept dying. I did that. I noticed that there's like a whole Spectre Knight thing. Yep. You can play as all sorts of different people.
Yep.
New Plague Game Knight. Pluses, yep. Plague Knight, all this stuff. Right now, I think the best way to do it is, for me, from what I understand, is to beat the game. Is New Game Plus, like, another thing, or is that just you're playing through again with all the relics?
I think you keep all your relics and stuff.
But is there any reason to play New Game Plus story-wise?
I didn't finish it. I can't tell you.
Okay, so
I don't think there was.
I'm going to probably beat it with Shovel Knight, and then I'll just play with... I'll play the Spectre Knight prequel, and then...
You know what?
I actually haven't played Spectre
I'll go
Knight,
back and do Plague Knight.
I think you can actually...
Because now you can play as anybody.
I think you can play as Shield Knight.
Yeah, no, now they have this thing called Body Swap, where you can be a male, a female version of, like, all everybody.
Plague Knight, very difficult. Plague Knight is extremely difficult.
Yeah, I saw all those when I started doing, like, the stat tracking. But I just wanted to say that Shovel Knight is awesome. If you never picked it up.
It's so good.
Like,
it's a good example of one of those indie games that you pay a little bit for, and you get just so much for your money.
Does anybody, Tyler, do you find this game difficult? I find this game very easy, but I feel like it's because we played a lot of Mega Man, and the idea of jumping on somebody's head, because you only have two attacks in Shovel Knight.
So easy.
You shovel, or you just jump and hold down, and you kind of bounce on their head.
Yeah. Right.
That shit's easy as fuck.
I find Shovel Knight very easy.
I also find it very easy, but I can see how it would be difficult, so I try to challenge myself when it comes to this kind of thing. I use a lot of items.
See, there's something called the Phase Locket, which you just press up and attack at the same time, and you're invulnerable for like 5 seconds. I don't ever get hit because I just phase lock it any time that I might miss a down attack.
Like, especially since it's a midair pause. Exactly like every other person that just blows through this game.
Yeah, it's super easy.
I'm about that bouncy ball. I'm about that fire rod. I'm about that.
I tried the other ones as well.
Spin dagger.
I like the punchy
through the blocks.
Yeah, I like a lot of those things.
The little levels where you have to use those are a lot of fun. It kind of reminds me of Bastion, where you have to use your weapon in the most optimal way possible.
I just found, like, in comparison to like Flint Hook, it took me forever until I figured out that there was secret rooms. Right, there is something called the Hall of Champions in Shovel Knight. Right. And one of the dudes, like, in another town is like, I hear there's a double secret room in Hall of Champions. And, like, I found it in, like, 2 seconds. And I was like, oh, I feel like secrets in this game are way easier to come by. Like, there's a lot of these music papers you collect and stuff like that. Like, I found, like, at least 35 of those without even looking. So I feel like I thought this game was much harder than it was going to be, and it just turned out to be a very balanced experience that's super fun for me, because I blow through it, and that's what I like.
So when you said you could play as anybody, does that include the hat guy?
Here's what I understand. Because, like I said, I hadn't played it before.
The hat guy's great.
It was like body swap available. So if you press pause, you can go to swap, and there's a bunch of drop-downs. It's like female or male, and then as I scrolled down, it had like all of the bosses. Like Polar Knight and all Tinker Knight and all these things.
Gold Knight.
And I wasn't sure if you could choose them.
Gold Knight, King Knight.
King Knight. King Knight, Mole Knight. Jeez, there's so many. Just play Shovel Knight. It's really good. At this point,
they mess with, like, they subvert a lot of the traditional side-scrolling platformer things. You know, it does have a Mega Man feel, but they do things like King Knight, one of
especially
his
Tinker Knight feels a lot like...
You know what this game is?
One of King Knight's attacks, these trumpets come in from the side each side of the screen, and confetti falls, and if you get hit by the confetti, you get hurt.
But literally, the first item you get is just you're invincible for like 5 seconds.
This game is DuckTales.
It is DuckTales! He's totally right. It's woo! Everybody's fucking playing DuckTales.
That's a cool one.
The DuckTales cartoon.
Yeah, that, and actually, just today, Magic School Bus dropped.
Is that out?
I saw
a trailer for that on Netflix. We're kind of going off the rails here.
I'm sorry. This is video game related. Apparently,
the two more things here.
Apparently, there is an extremely good, a little bit awkward, but definitely one of those stick with it and it's good. Japanese soap operas that was just put on Netflix.
What the fuck are you saying?
Dude, shut up and let me finish.
I don't know. It sounds like something you guys used to make fun of me for.
What? No, Persona 4 is not a Japanese soap opera.
Yes, it is.
No, it's anime.
Are you kidding me?
Are you saying this is legitimately like live action Japanese soap? Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
If you actually watch this with a straight face, it's got to be worth something. Tell me about it.
It's called Final Fantasy 14: Dad of Light.
I saw this shit.
Yeah,
I didn't see it, but
fuck you. Maybe you should let me finish before you guys shit all over me.
No.
I'm shitting on the idea of Japanese soap operas.
Yeah. Maybe you should watch Terrace House, because that's awesome. And that's kind of a reality show, and it's Japanese. What's wrong with that?
Terrace House?
Terrace House.
Yeah, I've never seen that.
It's dope.
People talk about it a lot.
It's super good.
I don't like TV very much.
Anyway.
If you like Final Fantasy.
Final Fantasy Dad of Light. It's basically this kid who tries to connect to his dad through video games. His dad doesn't like video games, but he really likes Final Fantasy. And so they
connect. I thought this was a Final Fantasy joke.
No, it's a real show.
No, I know it's a real show. Oh. I thought it was like Final Fantasy 15: Dad. I thought this was a Final Fantasy story. You're telling me there's just like a Japanese dude and his kid, and he's like, hey, you want to play some fucking Final Fantasy?
Yes,
and
they play
like,
Final Fantasy.
Show!
Okay, the kid makes a female avatar on Final Fantasy 14 and plays with his dad online because it's the only way he can connect to his father. That's why it's a soap opera. It's supposed to be really good.
I could believe it. I mean, there's only so many... That's the thing that you see a lot in... Japan, and the idea of a soap opera about online gaming. That's crazy. That's awesome.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Watch that.
It. It's good.
Also, the Magic School Bus, I guess.
Cruising on down Main Street.
Do you want to talk about these mobile games we got here? We're at about an hour and 30.
Real quick, the theme song is sung by Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wait, for which one?
For Magic School Bus.
Really? So it's actually out today?
I think so.
I thought I heard it announced. Well, check it next time. Magic School Bus. It's Mrs. Frizzle. She'll take you right up the human
asshole. It's
actually
Miss Frizzle. It's her sister.
Ms. Frizzle?
Oh, so it's like a...
It was
like
always Ms. Frizzle.
Yeah, but it's now Fiona Frizzle, I think her name is.
Does she take children inside of body?
Name. Yeah, somehow the children are the same, though.
That's weird.
Mikey?
Carlos?
I think
no, Mikey's
thinking
from
of
Recess.
What
Carlos?
What if Arnold was
Danny
even
Tamborelli? Hayden? That's who play Arnold.
I'm trying to look up Magic School Bus to see, but no.
Anyway, Knights of Pen and Paper 1. I think we've talked about this before. It's a really, really great D&D-themed turn-based RPG.
Yeah.
That you can play on your
phone. I play Knights of Pen and Paper 2. One costs money.
One costs money. Two does not. I played both. Two is more streamlined, optimized, generally speaking... more modern game, whether that's better or not, I don't know. That's kind of subjective. Knights of Pen and Paper 1 is still very fun. There's some weird, like, I almost feel like there's, like, weird localization issues with the translation or whatever.
I can imagine.
It's cool. Check it out. It's a good game.
And then Valerie.
Valerie?
Ms. Valerie Frizzle.
And
now it's...
Does she cut open a body Fiona, and take children said? Into yeah. it?
No.
That was the best episode.
Why would she cut open a body?
No, but she didn't cut open the body. The body. The kid was like, I fucking cut my hand on this piece of paper. Mrs. Frizzle's like, oh shit, we're going to use your pain as a field trip. All right, everybody, we're going to shrink down and go inside your classmate. Osmosis Jones the shit.
I liked the one where Arnold ate too many of those kelp-covered little fish and turned orange. That was a good one.
Hey, Arnold?
Yes.
The magic school bus rides again.
So back on topic, there is another app game that Tyler and I play the crap out of called Clash Royale. We've talked about it before. They
How about this
are
last week as well?
Dropping a new card here soon called Mega Knight, which is kind of cool. If you're familiar with the franchise, Mega Knight, I mean, you probably already seen it, but... it's basically a mix of P.E.K.K.A. and, in a way, Electro Wizard.
Nice.
It's just, I think you mean it's just this big fat dude in a giant piece of armor with spike balls for hands. It's pretty great.
Thanks.
Oh, are you talking about like the damage drop?
Yeah, he drops when you drop him on the field. It costs a lot of elixir. When you drop him on the field, he does like an AoE bomb blast. And then he just sort of waddles wherever he goes. And then when he finds a target, he charges up and just sort of belly bounces him.
That's sexy.
It's pretty great.
This is free. Yeah. Or no.
Yeah, I mean, they have a free-to-play model. But the card itself is legendary, so it's very difficult to get.
Magic School Bus rides again.
It.
Oh, yeah. It, dude. So Mega Knight's a thing. You know what? We should wrap this bitch up. Yeah, let's wrap this bitch up. Guys, it's been a fun time. Once again, I'm sorry if I echoed throughout this whole thing. These guys, we really tried. We worked very hard. Like, it's silly. It's silly kind of how we're ham-fisting this stuff in here. Like, literally, they have pillows in front of their microphones.
It's working.
Hopefully, Kevin and Tyler sounded great. I apologize if I echoed. Thanks for listening, guys. Real quick, before Kevin gives you this spicy, awesome game fact, I can't even talk. Always towards the end of the show, I start messing things up. A90sKid.com. Kevin and I both write and edit for them. If you guys want to check it out, once again, A90sKid.com. Space Brain Gaming will be doing the Dreamcast stream on the 9th of September. We're doing other streams as well.
Streamcast.
It's called the Dream Stream, I believe. Well, that's what we used last year. That is September 9th from EST. This is these times, noon to midnight. Might go a little bit longer depending on what we play. Always
you're playing Jet Set, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. We'll start off probably like Sonic, the classics that you're expecting. Good. Towards the end of the night, maybe get a 2D fighting block in here. Maybe some the King of Fighters. What's the Mark of the Wolves? That game is dope. We had a lot of fun with that. Some Alpha 3, maybe. If you like our content, you know, you can follow us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/SGC64, spelled out phonetically. 64 spelled out phonetically. So it's SGC and then spell out 64. Also, Twitter's the main one, @SuperGameCast64. But if you want to talk to me, Matt, the host, personally, it's @SGC64 Matt.
I'm @GingerBeard_man, beer like the beverage.
I'm @TTramaglio.
You can talk to us, guys. Also, at that Super Gamecast 64 main page, we do post what Kevin and I have been writing about over on a90sKid.com. So if you do want to see those links, just follow the Twitter. If you want to email us about anything, that's sgc64mail@gmail.com. If you put through a iTunes review or any review, once again, we will send you a code for free. Kevin, be sure to email me. I'll message you, Kevin, on Facebook, because you do get a free game. Even though we know you totally did a review, not you, Kevin, on the show, but Kevin from Shonen Trash Cast.
Just to mention, maybe a little incentive for you guys out there. I have a full copy of Yooka-Laylee to give.
Did you say Rocket League?
I have a copy of Rocket League.
Perception I have. I have a copy of, I don't even know. I have
we
a lot
got quite
of
a few.
I have a slew of indies if you want them. I got a couple copies of Payday 2.
Yeah, you do have a choosing from. If you give us a review on iTunes, it doesn't even have to be a 5-star, guys. If you just review us, give us
be honest.
Honest opinion, some constructive criticism, you get a code. Some of these are Xbox, some of them are PC, some of them are PS4. Nothing we can really do about it. Whatever we have, you will get. Final thank you once again to Shonen Trash Cast. They're great anime podcast. Listen to them. Great to support. Also, choose
My Own Adventure
by our good friend Mark.
Marky Mark and the Osbournes.
Nice. Am I forgetting anything?
The just girls the cackling in the background.
If you can hear that, that's probably that's not. The wife.
That's the studio girls.
They're cheerleading for us to talk about video games. Do you have a spicy games fact here, Kevin?
I do have a spicy game fact.
Dude, go for it.
I will not be surprised if you guys already know this one. It's kind of a cool retro game.
Yeah, give it to me.
So everybody's familiar with Space Invaders.
What's that?
The one that goes... Bah.
Is that like a spinoff of like Third Encounters of the Close Kind?
Bah.
I think it was before that. You
know
that
Encounters one. Of the Third Close Kind?
The fourth...
Signs.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, Space Invaders.
Space...
I'm your father.
Space Makers.
Space Invaders, yeah, we all know about it. Go
okay, so
it.
When the game was created, the I mean, everybody knows the iconic, like, they move faster as they descend.
Yeah.
In reality, they don't... well, I mean, they didn't at first. They actually moved that slowly because the processor couldn't handle that many units on screen at once. And so as you kill them, they get faster because it's freeing up processing power, allowing them to move at the speed that they were intended to be moving.
Oh, my God.
There but is.
It became so popular that they worked it into the final game.
It makes a whole lot of sense. There was a really great Twitter thread where game devs were coming out and talking about like secret things that made their games cool. I think Matt Falvia I think Matt Falvia over at 90s Kid did a video on that. There's also a Kotaku article. But if you're interested in stuff like that, behind the scenes kind of things that make gamers feel good and what we like, that was a good article.
I got one for that. The last 10% of your health for Doom is actually like 30.
Yeah.
Health, just like, oh, I survived with like 10%. Oh my God.
To make you feel
that's fun. That's fun. I like that.
So if you're interested in that, I don't remember who started the thread on Twitter, but there's
three spicy game facts.
There's a lot of really cool stuff. Guys, subscribe to the thing on iTunes if that's still a thing. I don't know. Rate us, like we said. We love you. There's a YouTube as well if you want to follow that. There's all sorts of things. Are we forgetting anything? We do have a Discord. I don't even know what the link is to that.
Maybe we can stream some Destiny or something.
Yeah, maybe if you want to do that on PC. Well, you're not on PC. Maybe. We'll see what's up with Destiny. We're going to play that tonight. But guys, did we decide on a new tagline? I don't know what the hell it's going to be. Why, Dan?
Pillows make great Matt? Audio.
That's not a... We have to have like a good thing. A good damn.
Bubbies and Peeners.
Jesus Christ. You know what? That's good for now. Bubbies and Peeners, Conan Exiles, what's up? Yeah, we'll see you guys next time. Thanks for another episode. Bye-bye.
Bye. I can see you now, Matt.
Hi, Kevin.